May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 36. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Hymn number 36.
From the Word of God. First, a few verses in the prophet Malachi chapter 3, and also reading in Matthew's Gospel in the first chapter and the second. The book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, reading the first six verses. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Let us read also, friends, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 and part of chapter 2, reading from the 18th verse, Matthew chapter 1. That's Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled with all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country another way. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we beg of thee now, thou wilt give us each a breath of real prayer. Oh, do not leave us, Lord, that we might just be in a form of attending to these things today. Oh, we've come into thy house, Lord, the place where thine honour dwelleth. And thou knowest it is at this season of the year when many will be thinking of thee in thy holy birth and coming into this world. Lord, we do trust we are a people who desire to be led and exercised to consider thee and all thy life here below, thy birth, thy life, thy walk on earth, and thy going toward Jerusalem and thy sufferings there, thy death, thy glorious resurrection. And Lord, oh, we trust, we believe in thee, our living Lord in heaven. And oh, we know, Lord, as thy word we've read is searching, we know thou didst come in thy first coming. We also know thou hast solemnly been stated that thou wilt come in thy second coming to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, thou wilt surely come. Whom thou seekest will come suddenly, shall come suddenly to his temple. Oh, Lord, we beg of thee, may we be favoured this day in considering the truth in thy holy word, that which thou hast laid in our heart to bring to the friends here at Swavesey today. And now with Lord, we did feel we may be in John's first epistle this morning. Thou knowest how thou didst so solemnly speak to us when we came to consciousness, awaking early this morning. And Lord, thus we come, we trust, with that word from thyself. And we pray, Lord, though it may be we must consider some solemn things, we pray it may be for real good. Thou wilt use it and bless it to thy people. We might none of us be left to be neglecting thy great salvation. And we may be in lively exercise, solemnly aware that the Son of Man cometh in an hour that ye think not. Oh Lord, we do pray we may be prepared to stand before thy face, Lord. Oh, thou knowest how we live in our days and fast hastening on. Oh, how we do need to be prepared. And how vital it is that we should be blessed and favoured to know and be assured of our interest in all what thou hast done, Lord. And that thou didst come for us. Oh, for what a great question it is given to thy people to consider. Did the Lord of life and glory stoop down to wretchedness and dust for me? We know thou didst come, the hymn writer puts it right. Thou didst come, yes, the dear Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. He took the dying traitor's place, and suffered in his stead for man. O miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. The Lord was it for me. May each of us here this day give true diligence by the exercise of the Spirit to this vital matter. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Oh, what we need at this season, Lord, is thee to put this question out of question. Thy soul blessing us, blessing souls, giving that blessed favour of assurance. Oh, Lord, thy people may be able to rejoice in thee. Oh, Lord, we do beg thee, do keep us at this season. Save us from all the things of excitement and the trappings and the gaiety that there may be, Lord, which is so much often attracting us. We do want to be saved from it. Oh, we want to consider thee, Lord. We want to be led into those sacred things, simple and blessed and holy, sacred things of thy holy, sinless birth. And how, as we have sung, Lord, we believe that theme, Lord, in that line is so close to the wonderful reality of thy coming. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Oh, help us each to know thee as our Lord, dear Lord and Saviour, dear Redeemer. Thou hast come, may we know thou hast come for us. Oh, we beg of thee for each one of us, young and older, and those in old age too. Oh, that thou wilt so give us exercise. Oh, we may truly give diligence to make our calling and election sure, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Lord, we have those things that are so wonderful there as they were going on to work in the Church of God. And the dear friends here are encouraged, Lord, Thou hast constrained by thy love another dear soul to come and testify of what there was done for her soul. Oh, thy constraining love. Oh, we especially have pondered it regarding the favour two dear young friends have now with their family, Lord, that they are so able to walk in that blessed union. Lord, as regarding what thou hast done for them each, they can commune on, may they have this favour much. So be with her, dear friend and sister, and blessedly favour her. She comes to the time of her baptism. Oh, we think of those words, Lord, that have been quoted, thou knowest, Lord, many times. But Lord, we know in thy word how it's set. Come see the place where the Lord lie. Oh, we pray so, do blessedly favour, yet thy people here. But Lord, as we think of the solemnity of thy coming suddenly, as thou didst come in that way in thy first coming, we know thou wilt come suddenly, and the end of time will come, that great day of the Lord, and who shall abide the day of his coming? Oh, those alone who have found, as their friend has prayed, we believe earnestly before the service, those who are washed, cleansed, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, those who have had the blessed application of the blood of atonement, thy holy blood, to their hearts and consciences. So prepare us, Lord, to stand before thee. Bless us, Lord, here as we gather this day. Shoot a blessing to each case. Oh, may it be witness, Lord, that the blessed Spirit is working in our midst. May it be wonderfully felt. May the holy power of the grace and favour of God be felt. Lord, may we know the power of thy love, setting ourselves on fire, and Lord, that it might kindle love in us in return to thee. May we have that blessed favour to testify. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, we also are thankful, Lord, and would acknowledge, Lord, publicly with our friends, thy favour in and toward thine handmaiden, granting safe delivery, bringing another little dear one into this world, another one to pray for. Oh Lord, may the little babe, in thy time, know thy teaching, thy working in, and Lord, thy blessing. Lord, oh, do so bless the little babe. Oh, could it even please thee, Lord, as a little babe is held in the arms of the mother or whoever in the close family in the first few days may hold the little babe. Oh, may there be that blessed favour given as a view of thee, Lord. We think of Mary, Lord, how she held the inner arms, and oh Lord, thy shoulders held up heaven and earth, while Mary held up thee. Oh Lord, how wonderful it is. Oh, born that one, his people do deliver. Oh Lord, that we beg we may meditate upon thee this day. And so be with us, Lord, and help us to acknowledge also, dear Lord, as we come before thee, our God, the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may we know that five that have come to thee, O Heavenly Father, blessing, praising thee for the gift of thy dear Son. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Lord, oh, as we were led to consider, we trust with the friends at Ripley on Thursday, Lord, in that word that was mentioned in the reading this morning, Lord, how the dear prophet was given in those solemn days to know and to acknowledge a virgin shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Oh Lord, we pray, may we know this favour today, God with us. Oh God, here in our midst, God with us. Lord, do so bless us here. Lord, we remember any friends who cannot be with us here, especially we think of dear Prissy, our sister. Lord, bless her in what she may hear, Lord, the sermon preached, she may be able to listen to this morning. Bless it to her soul. And oh, be with her and heal her, Lord, restore her. And any others, Lord, that are laid low, oh, may thy restoring mercies be known, and thy blessing in these ways. And Lord, those that are away, properly so, Lord, to spend the time with loved ones, Lord, we do remember them, Lord, pray for them. Watch over and keep them, Lord. Be with them, Lord. May the blessedness of family love be so made wonderful and good by that feeling sense, Lord, of thy presence in the midst. Lord, oh, we pray, so bless our families, Lord, who knoweth those things we have to solemnly carry of great anxiety for some. We pray, Lord, they would hear our prayers as we bring them day by day and cast them upon thee, Lord. Oh, thou knowest all our burden, our great trial and burden, burden for souls in our families and in our friends and theirs and in the Church of God. And Lord, as we think of, Lord, the many in our land who do not want to do with anything regarding to thee, Lord, only maybe at Christmas time they may listen to what is sung. Lord, it's so solemn to us too that even now while we're here in thy house, there will be many, many millions, Lord, as it were, listening to carols being sung and music played in places of trade and commerce. Such is our state in our land. Oh, it does sicken us, Lord, to hear it as we have to go on weekdays, Lord, and would be kept from being involved, Lord. But what grieves us so much, Lord, is to hear thy name being used for trade and commerce, Lord. Oh, look in mercy upon us in England, Lord. And oh, we know it's all through the world. But oh, we pray that we, by thy grace, may be able to be separate. There was said, come ye out from among them, be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you and be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, we beg for keeping grace. We beg we may be exercised in filial fear. We may be able to go forth unto thee without the camp, bearing thy reproach. Lord, in the world but not of the world, so give us grace. Help us each, dear Lord. But oh, we pray also, Lord, we might be enabled to let our light so shine before men. Oh Lord, we fail to have come so short in this. We fail to have come so short when great matters are being considered by our government, we fail to come so short. We're thankful, Lord, personally for that correspondence we've had with our own MP. Oh Lord, thou knowest we are very troubled about what our government intends to push through. The bad, the rough language of how some have spoken intent to push these things through, to change our laws to be so against what thou hast commanded us in thy word. Do, dear Lord, frustrate him, we humbly beg. But, O Lord, now we beg of thee we may have true spiritual exercise. We may leave all these things, Lord, as it were, at the foot of the mount. May we know that blessedness of finding thee, Lord, knowing thee, Christ within the doors of the house of God here, even within our hearts, well, everlasting love displays the choices of her stores. Hear us, Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive. We beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 703. Ye souls redeemed with Jesus' precious blood, proclaim the grace of your incarnate God. Sing that amazing, boundless, matchless love which brought the Lord of glory from above. Hymn 703.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the Word of God in the portion that we read, that first short portion in the prophet Malachi, the first verse, and just these words, "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. I felt as I retired last evening, friends, that my mind was settled upon coming among you to preach to you upon a text in the first epistle of John. And we felt really settled in retiring. Through the week we've had sleepless nights, we've had many risings, and many times of broken sleep in the last week. But last night we retired and we had a continuous sleep till we awoke. I was so thankful for that. But the solemnity of this word, as it struck me, as we worked with it in our heart, it was so solemn and yet so blessed. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And it was in very quick, in those moments following, that the dear Holy Spirit gave us both solemn and blessed meditation. Solemn meditation, because we know that in such parts and contexts of the Word of God as this, there is the wonderful prophecy and that stated of the Lord coming in his miraculous sinless birth, to be here on earth, to walk this earth and come for that purpose to save his people, to redeem them, to bring in for the church of God that everlasting salvation in Christ himself, what he alone has done, and that which of which the Father is well pleased with, so that the people of God are accepted in God's beloved Son. This is God, eternal God's way of salvation. Salvation by divine substitution. That God, the God-man, must come to suffer, bleed and die in the people's, all the people of God's room, place and stead. This word relates to that. But I believe, as in other places in the Word of God, it also relates to the second coming of Christ. It speaks of the solemn second coming of Christ. And thus my mind went to Mark's Gospel, a record there in Mark's Gospel, which I feel I should just read to you before we go any further. In that 13th chapter, the 13th chapter here in Mark's Gospel, we read some very solemn things that are being considered, the disciples considering and asking the Lord questions, and coming to the end of the chapter 13, the Lord speaks so pointedly to them. He says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." See this couplet, "coming suddenly." "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." That has deeply searched me this morning, friends, deeply searched me. And I believe the Lord has a purpose for me to bring it to you here today for this morning's service. that it might search some of you. In several ways. Yes, we do want to be led and blessedly favoured to remember our dear Lord's holy birth. It is coming, it's so important to us. So great in importance that we should be blessed to know, be taught of God, to know and believe and be favoured to know our interest in our Lord's coming and all what he has done. How he has indeed completed all that the Father gave him to do, like he acknowledges in his great high priestly prayer. And we know he's also ascended and is in heaven and he is alive forevermore, the word states. We trust God gives us the grace of faith to believe it and to live upon this, these truths that are so vital and important. For we can never be saved unless we know the blessed truth as it is in Jesus. God so teaches his people. This is how he prepares them. That the day, the terrible day of the Lord will not overtake them as a thief. Wonderfully, in one of the epistles we read, that day shall not overtake God's people as a thief, but it will overtake many as a thief. It'll overtake many who have professed Christian religion. It will overtake many as a thief. They will not be ready. We are not the judge. But God is clear in his word, he states so. Even the Lord himself says, some will say, have we not done this and that? Even cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And yet the Lord says, I will say unto you, I never knew you. So friends, how important, oh do we see it? No, it is so important that we should be seeking to be prepared by God for that great day. In the words I've just read to you in Mark's Gospel, the 36th verse says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Are we troubled about that? Well, we are all so prone to it, tending to it. And be sleeping. You know, one of the most dangerous, naturally, one of the most dangerous things is to be, as it were, sleepwalking. Or, as it were, dozing and in that kind of condition. In a sleepiness. If we're in a sleepiness, we will not be in diligence to make our calling and election sure. If we are, we hope, among those whom God has taught somewhat and brought us to now, but then we become sleepy, carnally easy, in ease. How solemn this is. And there are several reasons for it must be acknowledged as being very solemn. It's dangerous. Very dangerous. We are in danger. But we're also neglectful of attending to what we should. God has blessed you in the past, favoured you, even raised you out of hope and blessed you and favoured you. You can say, I have had the Lord Jesus Christ made precious to me. But friends, what is so laid upon me now is, how real and how lively are you in feeling it and acknowledging it? Acknowledging the preciousness of Christ and that which you hope the Lord's done for you. But where is it in that expression of it, that acknowledgement of it, in liveliness, as it should be? When the Lord called his disciples to follow him, he said, follow me. You know, it was so much that they witnessed, so many wonderful things. And it was when they were in a good and gracious exercise, they were acknowledging, wow, the wonders of what they saw and witnessed. But there were times when they were not. They hadn't got the presence of the Lord, and there is a reason for it. There is a reason for it with us. Have we been too taken up with the things of this life? Have we been concentrating too much upon the things of this life? There is a right level of right attending to the things of this life. But it's very solemn if those things become greater than in importance than the things relating to your need of salvation and your following Christ. All these sad hindrances. When we go sometimes to a prayer meeting or other services, what various hindrances we meet. You come into the mercy seat. But friends, oh, do we really lay to heart the seriousness of it? And you know, the neglectfulness and the sleepiness will sadly cause us to not be willing to testify and profess properly, rightly, according to what God has commanded us, who we are and who we serve, what He's done for us, what we humbly hope He's done for us, what we humbly hope He has done for us, upon which our hopes of heaven depend. But are we showing it forth? Are we witnessing it? And also, friends, regarding what God teaches us and how He's brought us to love the truth, are we letting our light shine before men in this world? This wicked, terrible world, we feel grieved about what man is trying to do in making it worse and worse and awfully turning away from God's teaching of His word, His commands. But what are we sleeping regarding making this known? Are we neglecting? Are we neglecting God's great salvation? Are we neglecting the truth that we love, the teaching of the things that God's commanded us? Are we neglecting them? Friends, we leave that in Mark's Gospel, but you know it's not to be forgotten, not to be left with neglectfulness. Oh, if you read that whole chapter in Mark, that 13th chapter, there are some solemn, searching things in it that the Lord states and speaks and warns, and He exhorts so graciously, kindly, perfectly. And we need to beg the Lord for grace and help to lay to heart what our Lord has said. And oh, friends, to follow His blessed example. We come so short, we know, but it's not allowed us, friends, to say and be readily speaking, saying we come short. It's all very well to say we come short. Do we lay it to heart? Are we really concerned that we come short? Or is it that we say we come short to kind of give ourselves an allowance that, well, this is how we are? Solemn if it's only that. We must lay it to heart. We do need to lay things to heart. We do. Oh, this word is so solemn and yet so blessed. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to His temple. Now we know this does relate to the Lord and that holy temple, that it was appointed in the holy will and purposes of God, that Christ should be thus born of a virgin. We have read, and if you read it, I tried to read it fairly slowly, the record of that, knew the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, and being very prudent and careful and right, and seeking rightly to consider how clear it is set in the Word of God how the birth of Christ was on this wise. Joseph was a just man by the grace of God. He was careful, he was God-fearing. And though he took Mary to his wife as God told him he should, he was also obedient. Let me be careful in saying it, he didn't go further than that until this blessed babe was born. Born of the Virgin by miraculous conception, the overshadowing of the Virgin. This is God's wonderful way, the Son of God's coming into this world. Born by birth, mysterious you may say, but not a mysteriousness at all. If we use the word, and we know the word is used, not that it is a mysteriousness like is used in very opposite ways of the meaning of the word. Oh, it's God's holy overshadowing, God's way. Oh, like we've sung, like I've quoted in prayer, acknowledging it, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, how the incarnate deity, our Lord came by this holy, sacred way of birth, by the overshadowing of the Virgin, born holy, separate from sinners, yet born and a real man. And we know he's still a real man, though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member, that's members of his church, feels each tempted member's pains and their afflictions his. A man, there is a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, the blood of God, divine blood, the blood of God, holy blood, that which was alone sufficient to redeem the church. Oh, at God's right hand, he stands with garments stained in blood to see instead of we are seen when we approach to God. Friends, he will come suddenly in his second coming. So God's people should give diligence to make their calling and election sure. Are we giving diligence by the grace of God? But another point and important thing is this. Are we living to our dear Lord, our God's honour and glory? Are we? Are we living to his glory? Are we living our lives? You know, we read in the Word, and it needs solemn consideration. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labour and sorrow. We are soon cut off and we fly away. Need to be prepared. Need to have that seal of the Spirit, of the blood, of blood divine, that we are accepted by God. For who have found under the blood. No safety without the blood. No heaven without the application of the blood, friends. Oh, we each need the application of it. And God does have such a blessed purpose to favour his people with this. They are favoured by faith to know the blessed application of the blood. Oh, friends, we are concerned also to consider this. You know, if we are grieving our God through neglectfulness, though we may say we are concerned and we pray for and long to know the full liberty of the gospel. Yet are we grieving our God through neglectfulness if he's already blessed us in some measure? If he's already favoured us? It may be with some of you haven't got the full pardon of sin yet. You long for it. But I must say, in solemn faithfulness, are you earnestly seeking for it? But also, how do you stand regarding considering the important matter that he has blessed you, and have you rendered praise? You see, we can't expect more if we're not thankful for what we've already had. Who can we pray in real earnestness for the full forgiveness of sins if we've not been truly thankful and acknowledged and blessed God for tokens of his love? These are important matters and points to consider. I felt that our friend, in giving out the hymn we've just sung, there were parts of that hymn which are close upon what is laid in my mind. And I would like to read, not to wrongly emphasise it, but may the Lord use it, the fifth verse of the hymn we've sung. Shall angels sing the honours of his name, and sinners saved by grace silent remain? Good God forbid, inflame us with thy love, and set our grovelling minds on things above. Oh, that God would inflame us with his holy love today. We may make by grace returns of love again to our God. We may live by faith upon him and have exercise to praise him, to show forth his praise, to follow him, to obey his voice. You know that those concluding words in that sacred hymn, Immortal Honours, do we lay those words to heart? Obey his voice and all his will esteem. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his will esteem. How important these things are, should be considered. And oh, if we consider them rightly and lay to heart these points, I believe it will bring us to this: feeling insufficient, feeling unable in many ways, but looking to the Lord to help, to enable, to give strength, give grace to help in time of need. The Lord will give, if the Lord truly gives us that exercise, that's how we will be seeking him. Lord, undertake. Lord, give grace. Lord, give me that enabling. Oh, I'm weak. I'm poor. I am troubled because of indwelling sin. But may I look away from myself to thyself and see in thee all what I need. And may I know that favour of strength. You know, I wrote a letter yesterday to a friend, and I felt I should put in it, one is help to continue through God-given strength, made perfect in weakness. That's what the Lord gave to Paul. He got to continue to have his infirmity, his thorn in the flesh. But God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And that brought out of Paul a right blessed acknowledgement with thankfulness. Most gladly, therefore, will I bear mine infirmities, that the Spirit of Christ might rest upon me. Oh, what a favour. But you know, you see, he was exercised to do all the will of God as enabled by God's grace. are you, am I, exercised in true desire to do all the will of God. God says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, are we? Are we exercised? Do we have it? Does such God's love so cause us, we feel in the power of it, the holy sacred power of the love of God, does it so constrain, causing us to desire to make returns of love again to our Lord? You know, solemnly the day is coming when we will not be able to do what we should. I sat beside my godly grandfather. He was well prepared for heaven, I must say that. But he died with a solemn regret. I won't enter into enlarging on it too much. I think you all know what I mean. It's what we've sung. Shall sinners saved by grace silent remain? He wasn't silent. He was called upon to pray, though he was not a member. He was greatly loved among the friends at Stockfold. He was a godly man. But he never followed the Lord in that way God's commanded. And he had a great regret of it. He's in heaven now, but I saw him in those hours before he died. I knew how he was deeply feeling it. You see, the Lord will come suddenly. You know, a few weeks before he was fairly strong, then so quickly brought down. And he couldn't do anything then. The Lord took him home, I know that. But those few hours, especially when I was with him, I knew what he was deeply feeling. It had such a voice to me. It did, it had such a voice to me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, of course, this is the Lord's temple, but you know, each one of his people are his temple. Know ye not, brethren, that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do we consider that very closely and solemnly? I think it's Paul, he says, he acknowledges the favour of knowing how to possess his vessel. That will be so by grace. You know, if we are solemnly neglectful of how we should possess our vessel, we will do all kinds of things that are very grieving to God. We're all guilty, and solemnly I feel it. But the solemn consideration of it gives us to, in our heart of hearts, really desire to so be sanctified by grace, set apart. Or we might not be so caught by Satan and contaminated by the world that we might live holy. We might live as true children of God, followers of the Lamb. Oh, to see the Lord, our Lord, the Lamb of God, and fall before him, humbly trusting in his cross. And oh, to be in meditation, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. If we have these considerations, friends, are deeply led into them by the Spirit, we will want to live separate from the world. We want to know the continuing favour, the presence of our Lord. In his presence I'm happy. In his presence I'm secure. In his presence all afflictions I can easily endure. And so, favoured in that way, we have such blessedness that whenever he come, let him come when he thinks best. Living upon the Saviour's merits, casting our care upon him, believing he's gone before us, having that blessed hope, like the Apostle Paul writes concerning in Hebrews, this hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in to that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, to have a blessed sight of him as our Lord gone before us and gone into heaven and at God's right hand, there, sitting there upon the blood-sprinkled mercy seat at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Oh, to know the favour of being in the favour of closeness, of communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with God through the Mediator's blood. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. To know this, friends, oh, we do need so much to be careful and prayerful in exercise. We might not be left to be neglecting God's great salvation or neglecting what God's commanded us. For if we grieve him, he will hide his face. If we grieve the Spirit, oh, if solemn, oh, we cannot then expect to enjoy the favours of God's grace, his face. Oh, his being close at hand, he will withdraw. It's a solemn thing to have to acknowledge that my beloved has withdrawn himself and is gone. There's a reason, friends. There's a reason for it. And until we're brought to grieve over it and truly mourn and come to repentance, he will not return. And oh, how much we will have to feel that. And how important that we might be truly prepared for that great day. Truly be prepared, watching and waiting for the Lord's returning. Be it as his word to keep, may our lamps be always burning, may we watch while others sleep. Can we say we're no longer of the night, we're children of the light? In the same similar theme going on, friends, one of the hymn writers says, nothing should be left undone. We ever so much are often emphasising how that we can do nothing to save ourselves. God will solemnly show us that. He will show us that our salvation depends alone on the merits of Christ, on him alone, what he has done, and the maintaining of God's people's cause is what the Lord's doing above. In his high offices in heaven, he maintains his people's cause above. And, you know, it's a blessed thing to meditate upon our great high priest above, whose heart is made of tenderness and bowels melt with love. But friends, oh, how our Lord is looking toward us and upon us to see if we are bearing the fruits of the Spirit. For this is what the Lord requires. Not for merit, but that it may be for God's eternal praise begun on earth. God's people must begin on earth to praise their God, if ever they are to praise him in heaven. They must be brought by grace to live to God's praise. And oh, so much, if God has blessed us, we should be laying to heart the importance of how we are living. Are we living unto him? Are we living upon the merits of the Saviour, on the Saviour's wholeness living? Are we? And following him, and readily exercises, gracious in exercising us to honour him with praise. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. There's no more blessed thing in the church of God, in any garden of God's grace. You know, the Lord, he's come down into his garden among you again at Swavesey to eat his pleasant fruit. That's what he's done. He's drawn by his love another dear soul. But where are the nine? Think of it, friends, when the Lord healed those lepers. Where are the nine? Oh, friends. Oh, nothing is more blessed than when the Lord comes down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, are there fruits that shall yet appear, must yet appear? Are you stifling the fruit by unbelief? Oh, are you neglectful? You know, I think of it. I think of when we were much more involved than we are now in growing crops. Oh, what we wanted to see was a healthy crop. The shining of the leaves. Try to do what we could to keep the leaves clean. That's the first consideration. And then the ear. No disease. But that favour of seeing the shining of the leaves. Under the sun shining. The vigour from the sun. The receiving from the sun of the vigour that does good. That the real growth may be in great favour and benefit. That there may be fruit. Fruit to be garnered in. Fruit to eternal life I would bear, though we fail to be the feeblest branch of God's branches. The Lord is the vine, we are the branches. But oh, that we may be boasting in him, boast not against the branches, but boasting in him, praising him. Oh, never holding anything toward our own merit. Never, never, never. But readily exercised by the grace of God to bear the fruits of the Spirit. And you'll pray for this. Sacred, simple language. Fruit to eternal life I would bear, the feeblest branch of thine. Oh, do you really have such a heart of love to your Saviour? To feel to need to pray like that and beg for help? Beg for help, you might bear fruit. You might be able to show that love. Another way it's put in one of the contexts of the epistles, the proof of your love. Showing your love to Christ. It's his grace, his enabling. His blessing, his favour. He draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. Causing them to hear his call and before his feet to fall. Oh, the blessed drawing power, the love of Christ. You know, there's a wonderful theme in it too, where Paul says the love of Christ constraineth us. You know, if we understand that rightly, it's that drawing power. But in the church of God, it's also the binding of precious souls together. When I heard of our dear sister hoping to follow the Lord on the coming Saturday, you know, I so felt joy. And dear Mr. Field, who visited us the next morning after you had the church meeting here, I understand, and told us, you know, I felt such joy in my heart. And it was in this way, the blessed binding together so close, the precious souls, the constraining love of Christ. You look at the word constrained from the original, friends, look at it, consider it carefully. You find in the way it's come from the original, it means draw, it means bind together. Oh, the bonds of the gospel. Bound together, bound in the bundle of life with Christ the Lord the Lamb. Wonderful favour. May the Lord grant it that it may be so with many. For his name's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £675, for which we are very thankful. God willing, the Sunday school today will be here at chapel. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Friday evening, and on Saturday Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach at 2 o'clock, and this will be followed by the ordinance of believers' baptism. God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school. And our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their Christmas service at 9:30 on Christmas morning. Let us close with hymn 37. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity, our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Hymn 37.
forgive anything thou hast seen amiss. Do only bless thy word, Lord. Bless thy people. Favour them, Lord. Draw them by thy love. Oh, constrain us together. Do, Lord, we pray, bind us together. Lord, in the church of God, the little hills of Zion, thy people here. Oh, many we know and love, up and down across the land. Oh, we beg thee, favour us in these ways. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.